Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. How you doing, Pete?
Hello, Chris. I got spotted because of you.
You got spotted?
I got spotted. I was playing five-a-side football. Actually, that's a lie. It was nine-a-side football. And I turned up. And I occasionally get spotted for the football podcast I do because that's weirdly popular. Never get spotted for my absolute radio. Never get spotted for anything else. I just get spotted for the football podcast. But in this case, the old I started playing football and a bloke jogged over who was on the opposing side and basically said, are you Pete Donaldson? I went, yeah, I am. Thinking he was, because we were playing football, it was very much a football situation. We said, oh, just got back from Japan. Big fan of Abroad in Japan, and I saw you in Natsuki the movie. So, finally, bit of recognition.
No way. You've got the fame you deserve. You're in the big leagues now. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it would happen.
Remember when we went...
In the movie, famed fortune.
Remember when we went to Borderline in London's Charing Cross District and we got a bit drunk and I got spotted for the football ramble and you got spotted for Abroad in Japan. So it was very much one all.
Yeah, it was a bit of a competition.
Yeah.
That you instigated.
I did not instigate that. You got spotted first and then I got spotted. I was like, phew. Chris must think I'm such a worm, an unpopular worm.
It's quite fun. I do. I mean, depending on what mood I'm in, it can either go badly or goodly. Goodly is just goodly. A word I made up. But if I'm in Tokyo, I'm in a bad mood. It's not fun because like people be like, "Oh my god, Chris," and I'll be like, "Get away from me! I'll eat you."
I got things to do.
So it really is dependent on your mood. But I do enjoy it. I've got a lot more accustomed to it now, but yeah, it's certainly a weird experience when people spot you, especially as you know, I spend a lot of time filming out in the countryside, I'm in my room a lot editing, so there feels like a massive disconnect between making the videos and meeting the viewers, so it's always a weird experience.
Hugely,
but I'm glad you finally got recognised. I knew it would happen. I'm so glad.
I was once in Los Angeles, and I might have mentioned this in the podcast before, but again, the football, it's because podcasts, I mean, I understand why you would get recognised because people know your face and how you speak, etc. But obviously, with podcasts, it's very much a passive medium, and people listen to us, people listen to the other podcasts that I do and the radio show while they're doing the washing up or while they're walking around or while they're doing something else. So they wouldn't necessarily know what I looked like. I was once in Los Angeles, admittedly at a soccer match, and a policeman with a gun came over and said, hey, man, no Geordies allowed. If you're not familiar with Geordies, they're people from the northeast of England. I'm not a Geordie. I'm actually from Hartlepool. I'm actually a monkey hanger, which I'm sure we've gone into before on this show. because in the Napoleonic Wars, we conducted a beachfront trial for a monkey who couldn't speak in English because he was a monkey. We thought it was a French spy, so we hung it. And so we're known as the idiots who hung a monkey, and that's the Hartlepool. That is the Hartlepool.
Stained, you know, just, the reputation, yeah, that's the rep all folks got from Hartlepool,
yeah,
forever.
We are idiots. And so... yeah, so in that situation, it's all very strange. But, yeah, where was I? Oh, yeah, I was in LA, and he went, "No George Lau." And I went, "Oh, my God, you listen to The Ramble?" And he went, "Yeah, man, love the show, man." And I was like, "That man's got a gun." And then I tried to grab it off
that's
him.
That's so random that out there someone would, I don't know, that seems weird. I might, because of your football podcast, I just assume everyone's British. I don't know why.
Well, it's
Football
it's,
Ramble seems like a very British podcast. It's something so like... It's amazing to think... That happened.
Yeah, it's something like 25%, 25% America, maybe 10% elsewhere in the world. And yeah, it is mainly British, but yeah. I don't know why the Scots listen, because we never talk about Scottish football. Anyway, where were we?
So today is a fax machine special. We've got quite a lot of questions from you guys piled up in the inbox, so we thought we'd go through quite a few. The first two questions actually correspond to Pete.
Uh-oh.
And his appearance in general, and just Pete.
Oh.
The first question is, hey, Chris and Pete. Pete, I had a dream. Well, that's never a good way to start a question. Pete, I had a dream where I was on YouTube and stumbled across what seemed like a parody channel. The title of the channel was A Pete in Japan. Admittedly, shit, I know. Which brings me to my question of... If you go to Japan every year, why not start a hobbyist channel? Show the viewers your drunken shenanigans and do it all whilst expanding the Abroad in Japan brand. It could be the start of a YouTube empire. Billy!
Yeah.
Question
can you really imagine my incredible filming techniques? Just, you know, filming everything in portrait. Maybe I should do like a really horrible Snapchat experience, because then they disappear after a few hours, don't they? So, yeah. Get on my Snapchat channel. What is my Snapchat? I think it's Pete Donaldson 1. I think that might be it. So maybe when I'm in Japan, Pete Donaldson 1 will be the place to be when it comes to Snapchat.
You disgust me. Plugging your own Snapchat in the Abroad Japan podcast.
I mean, who uses Snapchat?
Your
really?
Instagram stories already bad enough.
Oh yeah, I've not publicized. I've not. I don't think I've ever publicized even my Twitter page, Chris, on this thing. But yeah, no, that's a terrible idea. I think I would ruin Chris's reputation.
I love the way that that Billy just assumed that if you did do a hobbyist channel in Japan, you would be showing the viewers drunken shenanigans.
I know,
not
right?
Culture,
no.
Not food. Just drunken shenanigans.
I get enough.
Billy is spot on there as to what would happen.
I hate
on your
this
channel.
Reputation. Actually, I don't. I don't necessarily like the reputation, but you can't argue against truth, can you? Really, you can't argue against that. So,
if you did have a channel, would you call it A Pete in Japan, or what would you call it?
It'd probably be like, what was it? Top London DJ. Top London DJ in Japan. Oh, I'm surprised.
Certified Japanophile.
I'm surprised Natsuki hasn't.
That could be a winner.
I'm surprised Natsuki hasn't branched out and, you know, made his own t-shirts and stuff like that. Actually, did I see something about this? Did I see something on Twitter about Natsuki starting something? I don't know. Or have I gone mad? Or is it a fan club?
I think you've gone mad. He's got a fan club, but he actually started his own Instagram. Last week, just putting up pictures of him looking a bit... The photos, I mean, I think he's taken them himself. And they're not particularly flattering, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just him sort of looking grumpy and just tired and worn out. Oh. And one of them, he's just like, grabbed his cat, and his cat looks really scared. Just like there.
My breakfast.
Yeah, go and look at Natsuki's Instagram, ladies and gentlemen, and you never know what you might find.
Well, the depressed cat. My breakfast.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, God, there's another one for me as well. Chris, you're getting...
Yes, you're famous.
You're getting co-opted here, mate. Hey, Chris and Pete. So when watching Natsuki the movie, which I loved, it was so strange to see Pete matched up to his voice, which I'm used to from the podcast, but I hadn't seen him in a video before, and my question to both of you is this. When you meet fans or listeners, are you what they expect? Thanks for the great content. Hayley from the UK/USA. Do people sort of go, you are exactly... Because people see you in video all the time, don't they? So they must know that that's... Do they expect you to be all sarky all the time and horrible like your public persona?
Obviously, when I meet a viewer, I'm not a complete dick like I really am in real life. I'm like in nice mode. Like
nice mode.
If you bump into me in the street in Akihabara, as happened 2 weeks ago by a lovely couple, they were like, oh, yeah, we watched your videos. And I was like, oh, great. What are you guys doing? Where are you going on holiday? What's going on? You know, I'd try and ask them what they're doing. Mm. And that's the secret to not looking like a dick when you're a YouTuber being spotted. Mm. You know, you have to make it about the other person, get to know them a little bit,
okay.
I think.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. And I had a weird experience. I was in a blacked out SUV in Tokyo again 2 weeks ago. We stopped at a red light and somehow someone walking down the street saw I was in the car and like knocked on the window. And I was like, how is that possible? How can you see
in a
through the window?
SUV. What I like about it is that your personality is like, you know, bedroom documentary maker, bedroom kind of filmer of things. And then somebody who spots you in a blacked out SUV, it's all an act. He's on Roppongi Hills, bloody Hilton. He's always up there. He's a disgrace.
With my team of my private military bodyguards.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was actually for a documentary on Singapore TV, which I mentioned about eating some insects, and they drove us around in an SUV, and I got spotted. That was weird.
Beautiful.
To answer the question, though, I think I don't really know what I was expecting from Pete. I had actually heard Pete's voice before, because I used to have Absolute Radio on back when I was a university student. I just had the radio on in the kitchen playing Absolute Radio, and your voice often came on it. And so it was a bit weird when you called us into the studio. I didn't know who you were, but when I sat down and started talking to you, I realised, oh, it's that guy. He used to be on in my kitchen like 4 or 5 years ago.
You
weren't what I expected.
People always think I sound quite old. And I mean, I'm old, but I don't necessarily look as old as people think. I'm like about 60 because I've got a northern voice. Yeah. I sort of talk a bit like this, and that's like an old person's voice.
I think people. I remember I showed someone said after Natsuki the movie, a friend said to me, "Oh, Pete Donaldson looks all right. He doesn't look too bad." I don't know why. You just sound awful.
I think maybe
people listen to you and think,
horrible,
oh my God, what a
drunk
horrible
cigarette
person.
Of a man. Disgraceful. I've been working out, Chris. I'm a fine figure of a man. I'm sure you, when we do our
cycling.
You are
dressed excessively well.
Whenever I travel, I always put a suit on for the flight because if you're going to die, you want to die in a suit, don't you? I always sort of travel. I always try and dress up for flights because you never know. I don't know why I'm interested. You never know. I just think it's a nice thing to do because, you know, you're literally flying through the sky. That's worth dressing up for, isn't it? And whenever I go to Japan,
is it?
I try and bring as many suits as I can carry with me because just simply the British and the Americans and the Australians, whenever you're in a bar, they've always got cargo shorts on. They're always wearing a vest because it is warm and it is humid. Just wear a linen suit. Just wear a linen jacket, normal trousers. Don't have to go crazy. Just don't dress like an oik.
I like the way you wear a suit on airplanes because of your lack of faith in air travel. It seems to be the case.
It seems to sound
like you think the plane's going to go down. If you're going to go down, you might as well be wearing a suit.
I fly a lot and I think it's nice. I think it's fancy. It's a fancy thing to do. So I wear fancy clothes. Or about as fancy as I get. Just buy a cheap suit from Topman and buy it too small so it looks fitted. Fashion tip.
It's a Hartlepool thing.
It's a Hartlepool thing. We're like those Nigerian guys who have a real kind of sense of style, except we don't have a sense of style, but we know where Burton's is. Teresa Wilson has... Oh, here we go. Look, there's another one involving me. Hey, guys, thanks so much for the podcast. My question is, am I the new Natsuki? Am I taking over your channel? When Pete visits in October, will we see him in one of Chris's videos? I think you two on a bar crawl. Could be great fun. I mean, it depends on how far through his little cycle he's got, innit? Really? The cycle.
It is. If I make the cycle at all, to be honest. I would like to put you in a video, though.
Yeah, we'll have to do something.
I would. I'd like to have you at the finishing line.
With a...
wherever I end up.
With a tape. We're like me and Natsuki on either side of a tape, and you cycle through it, and it gets caught in your spokes, and you fall off and scrape your knee.
And die.
A fine finish.
Yeah, It'd be good to have you turn up in one of your snazzy suits and talk about things and see your forehead. It'd be great.
My heroic forehead, and I'll be eating, and I'll be eating a big packet of Coolish ice cream. It's delicious.
Of course you bloody will.
Of course I bloody will.
I wouldn't expect anything less. Hey, Chris and Pete, I've been a fan of your channel and pod for a good while now, and I've developed an interest in the JET program, the Japan Exchange Teaching Program. And I was wondering, what happens if you're rejected from JET? Are you allowed to apply again, or is that it for you? Thanks, guys. Keep it up. I'm absolutely loving it. Adam. Well, Pete, this is
very much my fault. You got rejected
from JET.
If you get rejected from JET, what you do is you work for local government in a housing quango for 5 years, and then you become a radio DJ. So that's how that works, Adam. And there's no deviation from that path at all. So thank you for your email. You're allowed to apply again. You're allowed to
Pete Donaldson's footsteps, become a radio DJ, and live happily ever after.
You're allowed to apply again, aren't you, surely? I mean, that'd be crazy if they didn't allow people to do that.
Change your name. Apply again.
Grow a beard.
That'd be horrible if you couldn't apply again. But you can. You can apply again and do it. If you do get rejected, don't give up. Don't give up on your dreams, like Pete did.
Oh, God, I mean, the fact that you say JET, the Japanese Exchange Teaching Program, I don't even think I knew what that acronym meant. And it is an acronym. It's not an initialization. There is a difference. I don't even know what JET stood for, apart from...
I never asked, though. Did you get on the interview? Did you get to the interview stage?
Yeah, I went to the interview. I got the interview and embarrassed myself because I was very shy. So my advice is don't be a shy. Shyness is nice. Shyness can stop you from doing the things that you want to
do. Don't be a shy.
As Stephen Patrick Morrissey once sang, a problematic individual with things he says, but some of his lyrics were quite prescient.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
There you go.
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Wow.
There's one from Arsam. Hello, Arsam. Hey, Chris and Pete. I was also wondering about whether you think it's better to travel to Japan alone for your first time or with friends. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
I've done both. And if it's your first time, I'd definitely say friends. I think all travel is instantly improved by having at least one friend. I like to travel... I think it's best when it's just with one person, actually.
You can
have a lot more flexibility, right? In where you go, what you do, who you hang out with, as opposed to a big group. I'll take a friend. But Japan is a good place to experience alone. But I think, I don't know, what you've experienced both, haven't you, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, my first one was I went to Los Angeles, met a couple of friends out there, then went to Japan by myself. But then I kind of met up with someone who kind of helped me, a New Yorker lass who lives in Shinjuku, and she sort of showed me around, and she was incredibly generous with her time. So I didn't really do it like that. But what I always find is that you can go with like 2, 3, 4 people. It depends on what their temperaments are like, really. If they're going for the first time, they haven't got a bloody clue what's going on. So to be quite frank, they are going to be quite flexible because that, you know, no one's got a really strong opinion of what they want to go and see. If they've got a really strong opinion, it's usually, I want to go to the, I'm trying to think of one of the big animes. What's that big anime guy? Is it Miyazaki? I want to go to the Miyazaki Museum or something. Or I want to go this, oh, I want to go that. If they've got like a really strong opinion about, you know, the so-called, in inverted commas, geek culture, they'll have a strong opinion about where they want to go in that sense. But I think if you've got mates who are quite easy going, they're quite easy going. But I mean, you can do it alone. I always find that even if I have a day by myself where I go, look, lads, I'm just going to go and, you know, I'm going to ride the circle Yamanote Airline round and just, you know, get off at different stops and have a mooch around. That lasts about 2 hours and I'm like, I'm a bit lonely. I'm like, what's everyone else doing?
Yeah. It's nice of a mix, isn't it? I think actually all my most profound memories, though, most profound memories from my time in Japan have always been alone, more or less. Like, I've been sitting on the top of a mountain looking out across rice fields, or I've been walking through a street in Osaka at night wondering what's going down.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think actually my most profound moments I've usually been alone. But at the same time, if I was to go on a trip next week and I had to choose between going with a friend or going alone, I would go with a friend, I think. It's just a bit better. It's a bit more fun. It's just awkward walking into a restaurant on your own, like on your own sometimes. And, just, I don't know.
Please.
You can do more.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've got a propensity for feeling lonely at any point, I think Japan's quite a hard place to get on with anyway, just because of the language barrier. But I do find that a holiday alone anywhere other than Japan would be a little bit easier. But Japan, I think you can get a little bit lonely there, to be quite frank, because it is.
Definitely.
Very strange.
Well, yeah, especially in Tokyo. I know a lot of people in Tokyo who are a little bit depressed because it's hard. You walk down the street, you're surrounded by hundreds of people, but no one will ever talk to you. It's very rare for a stranger to strike up a conversation with you. You know, it's not like in the... I remember after living in Japan for 2 years, I went back to the UK for a 2 or 3 week holiday for the first time in years, and I was shocked that I could talk to people at cashiers or people that were like running a store. Yeah. I'll just go into a shop. I remember going into a sweet shop somewhere near Canterbury and talking for like 20 minutes to the person that worked in the sweet shop, who was clearly quite visibly scared that I was talking to them so much, because I was just so excited at the concept of talking to somebody that works in a shop. Because in Japan, staff in anywhere really won't talk to you because they see it as it's bad, right? They should be working,
right.
They should be doing something productive.
Or shouting, "Sumimasen."
The only place they'll talk to you is in a bar or in a bar. So, yeah, that's a factor. So you can get a little bit lonely, definitely,
I see.
In that regard.
There you go. Shall we move on to...
Leighton.
Leighton Lucky.
Leighton.
Wasn't that a film? Logan Lucky. Howdy, Chris.
Logan Lucky.
Howdy, Chris and Pete. I'm here listening to the podcast on my train ride home, as usual. From your travels, what stereotypes of Japanese people have you found to be completely true, kind of true, kind of false, and flat out wrong? Thanks, as always, Leighton Lucky from Texas. A great place. Love Texas. It's up there for me.
You've been?
I've been all over the place in Texas. Love it. Done the big Lucky circle that. Of all the big cities, but fantastic.
But you've
place.
Yet to meet Leighton Lucky.
I've never been lucky enough to meet Leighton.
Stereotypes. Japanese people are shy. True or false? Have you found it to be the case?
No, they're outgoing within themselves. When the shyness, I think, or the idea that they're shy definitely comes from the honour and respect system, and also... the fact that you don't know the language, so oh, you're shy, aren't you?
Yeah,
because I can't speak English, mate.
What about polite? And what's another stereotype? That they're very polite and hospitable.
Yeah,
I
polite.
Found that to be the case.
Polite, that's hospitable. True. Yeah. That's definitely a stereotype that endures. I think it's fair to say.
One interesting stereotype is I think a lot of people think there's a big otaku geek culture in Japan, you know, where people are obsessed with manga and anime. But it's actually very rare. I think that's the biggest misconception. I get asked a lot, you know, do a lot of people watch anime and manga in Japan? It's a lot less than you think.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't have a single Japanese friend who reads manga or anime.
Yeah.
And they openly admit to me, they're like, oh, that's a bit of a geeky thing, you know. I don't have anything against anybody who loves anime or manga, but yeah, it's a lot more rare than you'd think, in Japan.
I think we assume that because they've industrialised it in that they just produce so much of that stuff, we think that that's bigger than it is. I think it's fair to say, like, it's not really, it really isn't. I'm always sort of surprised that people get into stuff. So there's like people have interests like motorbikes, and if they're into motorbikes, they're really into motorbikes. They know everything about motorbikes, and they've got a beautiful motorbike, and it's just wonderfully kept. If someone's into baseball, they're really into baseball, and they've got loads of baseball
stuff. Well, Natsuki and punk rock music.
Well,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a good example.
People are
He's
just
obsessed.
Into stuff. People are interested in what they're interested in. I've got like through that last issue from New York, she knows a couple of people who are really into like role play, like so these wonderfully ornate kind of tying, you know, women and men up in ropes and, you know, suspending themselves on the ceiling and stuff. These incredibly, and it sounds like a sex thing, and it probably is kind of, but
what?
This whole sort of fetish thing of tying.
When you first said that, I thought you said rope play, right?
Yeah, rope play.
And then
play.
I realised you did say rope play.
Yeah, rope
I was
play,
like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, playing like dicking around with ropes and stuff, but like making these incredible constructions around the human body and hanging them from ceilings. I mean, I don't really understand what they're getting out of it, but, you know, knock yourself out, big boy. I don't, you know, do whatever you want, but people are into stuff. They're into fetish wear and like I'm going through the things that talking to this New Yorker girl who does like contour fashion and she designs bras and stuff. So she's kind of got one foot in that. But these people who make these, you know, incredibly beautiful, they're just craftsmen and women. They're just creative people. And they don't see like where we would sort of see someone painting and sort of go, oh, bit arty farty. They don't see that. They see that as a compliment to what they do day to day, and they see it as an escape. And they see people are into shit. You know what I mean? A lot more. I think that's the best way of describing it. People are into
in the
shit.
End, you just gave up.
Yeah,
you just gave up describing it.
Yeah,
and
people are
that.
Into shit, Chris.
Absolutely. And I know what I'm going to be Googling the moment this podcast is over.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going straight for rope play.
And city pop. City pop. I'll be Googling city pop. You'll be
city
Googling
pop and rope play.
Yeah. Interesting.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, Chris and Pete. Recently married, we thought, what better place to spend our honeymoon than Japan during cherry blossom season next year in 2019.
Lovely.
My questions for you are, number one, I'm left-handed. How does Japan feel about left-handers? Would it be rude to use chopsticks in the left hand? Do I need to start practicing right-handed chopsticks? And the second question is, I've started learning hiragana and katakana and trying to translate games and manga. Without spaces, how does one know which groups of characters are words? Arigato gozaimasu. And that's from Dias Matsumoto. I'm Japanese but grew up in America. In brackets.
It's Dias has appended a YouTube address. Is that how to pronounce Dias's name?
Dias was so worried about us mispronouncing his name, he linked a YouTube video to help us, which I actually listened to before this podcast.
Oh, good on
so
you.
I could know how to spell it, how to pronounce it. And it is Dias.
Dias.
I think.
Good. Well, I'm glad that YouTube page made an impression.
I'm glad somebody's made a video about it, to be honest.
Mm.
Someone out there felt that the time was right to make a video pronouncing the name Dias. Yes, I'm left-handed as well, Dias. And Japan doesn't really have any prejudice against left-handers, or southpaw, as they call them, as I find. It's not rude at all, and you don't need to start practicing right-handed chopsticks. What I will say is, you will experience every day, at least 56 times, people going, ah, you're left-handed. And it can be quite annoying. Although, to be fair, that's not just Japanese people. That's everyone in general. I don't know. I'm always surprised by that. I don't know why it's a big deal. Do you? Is it,
I don't know why you would really notice it. You know what I mean? Because I mean, you're used to seeing everything in reverse anyway. I would just be like, oh, that dude's eating some ramen. I mean, why would you even notice that that person is, is using the left hand?
I mean,
hand?
It's difficult for me because I've never, for me, it's just natural. But yes, you don't have to worry about it. The only thing is, it can be a bit annoying when you're writing left hand because you tend to smudge the very thing you've just written as you're working your way across the page.
And I guess also with Japanese writing, you're probably using, if you're doing like kanji or something, you're probably it's a more inky pen. Like you're not generally using a biro. Would that be correct? Or am I just being
very it's not
old
correct.
School with the calligraphy and stuff?
I think you're just special.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do vividly recall when I was learning how to write kanji, you know, you'd spend... It can be quite a big thing to just write out one kanji because you've got like 8 or 9 different strokes.
And stroke.
And I would write
really
it out, it'd be beautiful. And then I'd go on to the next letter and I'd immediately rub out or smudge the one that I just spent so much time precariously writing out. So yeah, it's a bit annoying.
Good news. The second bit, obviously, you know what? I'd like to know this as well. Started learning hiragana, trying to translate. So without spaces, how does one know which groups of characters are words? Do you just sort of guess?
Well, it's actually not an issue at all, which sounds like me being arrogant.
Oh.
But no, it really isn't that difficult. Once you've studied basic Japanese, it's quite clear what is what. Mm. You've got 3 alphabets, right? Or 3 characters. You've got hiragana, katakana for foreign borrowed words, and kanji characters. And when you look at a sentence, you instantly can see what is the noun, what's the subject, what's the object. And one factor is the particles in Japanese, like wa, ga, ni, o, etc. You know, you look at a sentence, you can see where the particles are, and that makes it pretty clear. But yeah, I think once you've just studied Japanese for 6 months and you've learned a few characters, it's just quite easy. It just becomes natural to look at a sentence and know what's what. If it's katakana, odds are it's a noun, it's a word, right? It's a foreign borrowed word. If it's hiragana, it's usually a particle. Kanji characters are the ones that are used the most. But yeah, I mean, you just know. Once you've learned Japanese for a few months, you can easily look at it, and it's not an issue at all. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just keep studying, and you will magically find it not to be an issue after a few weeks and months of study.
Because you start reading the word and you're like, arigato, oh, that's a word. I know that one. And then it's down.
Yeah.
And then, well, the next bit must be the next word. I always have a problem with, like, the little kind of ones that extend the sound. Like, you know when the tsu, hiragana, they use it, but it's small? Or am I just being stupid?
They use that for, like, repeating the same character.
Right.
Before it. Like, gambatte. It kind of serves to enunciate the next character,
right? So how would you so
it's a bit difficult to explain.
So with gambatte,
once you see it, you know how you would know. You would just look at the character and know to enunciate it a little bit more.
So gambatte, which means go on, or yeah,
yeah.
So how would that? Where would that su come in that particular hiragana order?
It would come after the ba. And before the te, and so it wouldn't be gambatte, it'd be like gambatte.
Ah, okay.
It just means you have a little pause and you sort of enunciate the T sound, gambatte.
Because it's a double T. If you wrote it in English, it would be a double T, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, well, I'm learning something there. Thank you, Tess. Tess?
Tess. We will cover Japanese in an upcoming podcast.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. We're going to cover quite a bit because we haven't actually touched upon learning Japanese or anything, really.
We've been a bit slack
over the last
on our
few podcasts.
We've been a bit slack on our vocab, but never mind.
We'll make up for it.
Shall we finish?
Actually, the next question's about Japanese.
Yeah,
about arigato.
Ah, yes. From Lisa Dunaway.
I'll let you read it.
All right, Lisa Dunaway from Muncie, Indiana, which I think is a beautiful word, Muncie. It's like if you brought a loaf of bread out of the oven and went, oh no, it's gone Muncie. I don't know why. It just looks like a wet Muncie. Hello, Chris and Pete. Konnichiwa. Konnichiwa, Chris and Pete, because I was reading hiragana there, because I'm a clever boy. My first question is about thanking people in Japanese. I've heard arigato, I've heard arigato gozaimasu, and I've heard arigato gozaimashita. The first time I went to Japan, when a cashier would thank me after my purchase, I would panic and just say, arigato! But the second time, I became more brave and added gazimas. The third time I visit, I started worrying if I should be adding some gazimashta. But I met a drunk British expat in a kombini who said it would be weird for me to add gazimas or gazimashta because a cashier was below me in status and I should only say arigato to them. As someone from the United States, it is counter to my DNA, my very DNA, to treat someone as below me in status. But I was wondering if it is actually horribly wrong of me to overly thank a cashier. Can you please clarify this for me? Take care. Lisa Dunaway. You've spoken about this before, I think, how it sounds a bit weird, or maybe I've read something about it. I think there was, wasn't there a vote, or the Japanese people would sort of say it would be weird to go full arigato gozaimasu to the cashier rather than just a, you know, domo or a arigato.
I find a lot of people don't say anything. Me personally, I actually do say arigato gozaimashita, just quickly, you know, I mutter it, just because I like manners. I want to be the nice foreigner with lots of manners and etiquette.
Yeah.
Nice boy.
It takes nothing, does it?
So I always do say arigato gozaimashita. You say gozaimashita, you say the past tense, usually after some sort of transaction when one of you
has been completed,
sort of walking away. So
yeah.
Yeah, so after you've paid, you just say arigato gozaimashita.
Yeah.
But I never really say arigato on its own. I never really say that. I often say domo. Domo.
Yeah, because that's right, like the least... It's weird because that's the least formal way of saying it, isn't it? Domo. Domo.
Yeah.
And
but I just find it weird saying arigato yeah. on its own. So I always say arigato gozaimasu or domo. And if you really want to say thank you just say like, hontoni, hontoni arigato gozaimashita.
Hontoni.
Like that.
Really thank you. What is... Because I was going around, the first time I went around, was, I was saying domo arigato gozaimashita. Or domo arigato gozaimashita, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's like...
Yeah, I often say
that. That's like very honorific, right. Isn't it? That's like they're talking to the queen shit.
not necessarily. I mean, I tend to say... I got a package today from Amazon. The guy brought it to the door. He gave me the package. I signed it off. And I went, all right, domo, arigato gozaimashita, you know, like that. It's kind of just saying, thank you, cheers, thank you, like that.
Okay.
So it's fine, you know. It's more about the way you say it, I think.
What does hontoni mean again?
You go, really?
Oh, so it's like really? It accentuates.
Really, thank you.
It accentuates. Hontoni sexy.
Yeah. Like, I think after we finished Natsuki the movie.
Boku wa hontoni sexy.
After we finished Natsuki the movie... Natsuki was kind of grateful and sort of said, "Oh, goodness, hontoni arigato gozaimasu." Oh. He was like really happy for the film being made.
Bless him.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's very nice.
There's very few people.
So that's the rule of thumb.
There's very, very few people who would get films made about them, I imagine. Can I have one? Can I have a question with words and stuff? Yeah. My free Japanese lesson of the week. Jamatane and Jamata. Is Jamata just a shortening, just a see you later, rather than a goodbye?
Yeah, so ja is a shortened version of dewa. It kind of means like, right then. And so, right then.
See you later. So jama, was it just jama?
No, ja matane.
Oh, ja matane. Like, yeah, so
I'll see you again.
So ja matane means see you again. The shortening of that, ja mata, that's all right, isn't it? Ja mata.
Yeah, it's no problem. It's more colloquial to say, to add like ne on the end of it. It's a bit more friendly. A bit more friendly and natural.
I see.
Zomatane.
I was wearing a Japanese football shirt when I was playing football. The same football match with that guy who came up and said, "You've seen me on Natsuki."
See
me on Natsuki. Big pylon. Ugh. Big sexy pylon. He was already smoking a cigarette, post-coital. And it was a Venezuelan chap, and he was a little Venezuelan guy, and he was he spotted my shirt, and we had some holiday Japanese conversation. It was nice little chat with a Venezuelan man. South America, loads of Japanese people, aren't there?
There are. I don't know why. I think, I don't really know why. I think in the 19th or 20th century, the Japanese government sent lots of Japanese workers over to South America. I'm not sure why. I'm not going to pretend like I know. But yeah, there are lots of workers went over, and yeah, there's still some sort of connection there between I think Brazil and Japan.
I think the
as a result,
I think Peru is the first. I think Peru was the first big developed nation that had a foreign prime minister or something like that. It was he was a Japanese guy. It was the first time. Because obviously Peru's got a massive Japanese population. I think the biggest Japanese population outside of Japan is Brazil. Big old country, though. Big old country.
Yeah,
there's room.
Yeah.
There's
it
room.
Is. You wouldn't have never thought that, would you?
It's weird, isn't it? Like, you don't see...
Someone put a gun to your head and went, right, where do you think Japan has... Where do you think has the largest population of Japanese expats outside Japan? And you'd go, probably America. Mm. And then, bang, you'd get shot because it's Brazil. Although it might not be, I don't know. Don't
quote me on that.
Probably is America, to be honest. last question of the day. Hi, Chris and Pete. I've been a big fan of Abroad in Japan for a while now, and you actually inspired me to do a Japanese degree.
Ooh.
Wow, that's cool. But this question is probably more likely to apply to Pete.
Oh.
You seem to love pubs, Pete, and beer just as much as me, and I was wondering, if I ever bumped into you in the street, what would you think about going for a quick pint? Sapa or beer, obviously. I'd love to hear that smooth accent of yours in person. Thanks, and keep the great podcast coming. I love the way... I don't know who sent that in, name-wise. I love the way that's aimed at you. He thanks me for inspiring to do a Japanese degree and then offers the prospect of beer to you and you alone, Pete Donaldson.
I am a friendly
gratitude
boy.
For
and
you, isn't it?
You, your whole thing is like, you know, a little bit cheeky, a little bit acerbic. I think he's scared of your intellect, Chris, but mine is manageable. My level of intelligence, manageable. He ain't going to be scared.
You do have
mine.
A smooth accent.
But fine. I mean, to be honest, I do five different podcasts, and occasionally when people come over to London, they do sort of go, all right, Pete, let's have a drink then. And I'm like, there's only 7 days in the week. I can only drink on two of them because I work in the evening, so... You know, I can't be drinking beer all the time. That'd be madness, even though my reputation as a legendary boozy Japanese drinker is second to none. It's just simply because I'm on holiday, you see. If I lived in Japan, I don't like drinking during the week. I never drink at home. But when I'm in Japan, I'm a boozy, boozy boy. No, never drink at home. Good boy.
So there you have it. Pete wouldn't drink with you.
I would drink with you. I'm just saying...
Nice person.
I'm just saying that it has been asked before and I haven't necessarily taken anyone up on it. But maybe in this case I will.
If you do bump into Pete or I, do say hello.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Hello.
I don't think... I mean, if I look angry, probably avoid me. You'll know what mood I'm in by the face, my facial expression.
Are you talking to me
as I'm
now?
Walking down the street. Pete always smiles, though. Pete's always happy.
I don't. I have a resting witch face. It's dreadful. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll wrap things up for now, though, guys. If you have some more questions to send into us, don't hesitate to drop us a line at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next time, same time next week, next Wednesday. But for now, no matter where you are out there in the big wide world, have a great week. And if you see Pete, give him a hug. Give him a hug. Annoy him. Prod him. Harass him.
Arigatou gozaimashita.
Do it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.